Two different men, two different lives, and two separate destinies. That's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we find that story in Luke chapter 16. It begins in verse 19. And here's where Jesus tells this story by saying that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The first character here then is a rich man. He's very wealthy. He has more than enough money. And the Bible says not only is he rich, but he uses those riches to provide a very comfortable life. The scriptures say that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Many times in the Bible you find that high-ranking officials wear purple. So it was not something that the common man had access to. It was something that people who could afford it had access to, and that was usually people who were wealthy and people in government positions. And then the Bible says that he wore fine linen. Not just linen, but fine linen. These are expensive clothes that he wears. The scriptures say that he fared sumptuously every day. That means he lived in luxury. And he not only enjoyed that luxury on the weekends, you know, there are people that work hard all week so that they can have money on the weekend to really enjoy themselves and to afford some of the luxuries and the real fine things of life. Not this man. He had enough money to live in luxury every day. Then the scriptures tell us about somebody else. In verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, this man's life could not have been any more different. His conditions could not have been any more different than the rich man's situation. The Bible says that he was laid at his gate. This means that his friends and perhaps some of his family members had to take him and lay him at the gate of this rich man. He's a beggar. He's not able to work. This is not a man that is so lazy that he won't work. This is a man that evidently is crippled and he cannot work. The only thing that he can do is to ask other people for money or other people for food. And he depends on other people just to get around. The Bible says he is a beggar. He has to have other people to transport him. And he is full of sores. Now perhaps that's because of poor health. Or it could have been from him dragging himself around. But at any rate, his condition is miserable. He is in a pitiful shape. Not only that, but in verse 21, the Bible says that he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He would have given anything just to have been able to eat the crumbs that fell on the floor off of the rich man's table. He wasn't looking to sit down at a table like that and be able to eat with this man. He wasn't asking for the meal that had been served, that had been prepared and placed on the table in front of the rich man. He just wanted some of the crumbs, just some of the smallest pieces, because he was that hungry. That's all that he wanted, and he's a beggar. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What a pitiful sight this was. So these friends of this beggar laid him at the rich man's gate, and the plan was that maybe he could get just a few crumbs from the table of this rich man. Then the Bible tells us in verse 22 that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Here this man lives a miserable life. He never really enjoys his existence, at least like it is now. I don't know if he became crippled. I don't know if he was born that way. The Bible doesn't tell us. But for some time, he endures this kind of condition in his life, being a beggar and having to ask for everything that he gets and depending on other people for his very existence. The Bible says now that he died and his suffering is over. Sometimes you hear people say that when a person dies, his suffering has ended. And there are times when people say that and they don't know where that person is going. They don't know if that person is going to a place of punishment or a place of rest. Now, in Lazarus' case, it was clear that when he died a saved man. And the Bible says that the angels of God carried him. You see, Hebrews 1, verse 14 says that the angels are sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. So the angels of God have always served Christian people. The angels of God have always ministered to and helped God's people. So they work in the world, and they are around us. We just don't see them. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. They were there at his death. Now, why they didn't keep him from suffering before that time is a mystery that only God knows. But if they did this with everybody, if they were there and they stopped the suffering of everybody, then there would be no test for other people to help this individual, and there would be no test for the one that was afflicted to endure it. Remember, folks, life is a test. You know, today sometimes we think of a long funeral procession and how impressive that is, and it certainly is in a way. But that kind of procession cannot compare to the reception that this beggar got. What a thought that is, to have angels escorting a person at death. And the Bible says that he was taken into Abraham's bosom. Now, the idea of Abraham's bosom here is that the beggar, Lazarus, is going to a place of comfort. He's going to a place of peace and a place of rest. To rest in somebody's bosom simply meant that there was a closeness that was there, and also that there was great comfort in that fact. So now he's at a place of rest. Now his suffering truly is over. He will never have to suffer again. But then the Bible says in verse 22 that the rich man also died and was buried. The Bible doesn't say anything about Lazarus receiving any kind of burial. The rich man had all kinds of money, and many people have remarked that perhaps Lazarus did not get a funeral. Well, be that as it may, the rich man was buried, but then the Bible says this in verse 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." What a change that was. At first, you see, he's looking down and around him, perhaps, and then naturally, he looks up to see where he is. You know, if you've been transferred to, or you wake up, let's say, in a place that you're unfamiliar with, a place that you didn't expect, you're going to look around you to see where you're at. Let's suppose that you've been knocked out because of an accident, or that you fall asleep in a place that you're not used to being at. You're visiting, you're traveling. Well, oftentimes when you first wake up, you're a little bit disoriented. And so the first thing that you do is you look around you and you try to figure out where you are. Now, in this man's case, he is in a place of torment. He knows that right away. Now, if you're in a place where you're very uncomfortable, and not just uncomfortable, but you're actually in pain, the first thing that you're going to want to do is to look around you and look out to see if there's some way out of it. And this man looks around to see where he is because he was in torments. Now, I want to stop right here and say that this is a man who had it all. He lived in luxury, and now he is suffering. Now he is in misery. And what does he see? He sees the same beggar who lay at the gate of his mansion. This beggar is there with Abraham. Now let's observe a few things about this. One of the things that we see right away here, folks, is that when you die, it's not all over. There are people who think, there are people that hope, and there are people who say that when you die, there is no life after this one. That when a person dies, that's all there is to his existence. And what we find in the Bible time and time again is that that is not true. That is a vain hope of sinful man. Yes, we will live on. No, our lives will not end when we die. There is a hereafter. There is a life beyond this one. And that life beyond this one is where your soul goes. Yes, your body dies, because your body is made of the dust of the ground. Genesis 3, verse 19, "You are dust, and unto dust you will return." Our bodies are made of this earth, and our bodies are going back to the earth when we die. But your spirit, or your soul, will live on forever. It will not die. It will not cease to exist. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. The body dies, and the spirit departs and goes to a place of punishment or a place of rest. James 2:26 says that the body without the spirit is dead. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the Bible says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That doesn't mean that every spirit and every soul is going to God in heaven and will live in heaven with him forever. What that simply means is every spirit, every soul is going back to the Creator, to the God who made it, and then that God is either going to place that in a place of punishment or a place of rest. Now the rich man dies and he's in torment. So we have two different men here who live these two different lives, and now they have two separate destinies. We have a poor man that died saved, and we have a rich man that died lost. Now the rich man did not go to hell simply because he was rich, any more than the beggar went to a place of comfort because he was poor. The rich man went to hell not because of his riches, but because of his disobedience. Somebody says, well, what did he do? The Bible doesn't say that he was a drunk. The Bible doesn't say that he was a fornicator. The Bible doesn't say that he killed anybody. So why did God send him to hell? It's because he refused to help his fellow man. It is because he refused to give food to a man that was starving, that was at the very gate of his property. What more evil and unmerciful thing could a man do than that? That's why this man went to hell. It's not simply because he had money. There were people in the Bible who had money who were good men. Abraham was a very rich man, and yet he was a very good man. Job was a very rich man, and he was a great and a godly man. Yes, the Bible shows it's possible to have money and to be wealthy and at the same time be a good man. And at the same time, just because a man is poor doesn't mean that he's going to die saved. There are poor people who are good people who live the Christian life and they die and leave this world in a saved condition. But there are also poor people who don't live right. They don't acknowledge God and they live and they die in a lost condition. So whether a man is saved or lost is not determined, it is not caused by whether he is poor or rich. If a man is saved, it is because he believes and obeys God. And if a man is lost, it is because he does not believe God, he does not follow the will of God, and that's why he ends up in that lost state. So if we want to see how bad it is when a man is covetous, when a man loves his money and he enjoys spending it on himself so much that he won't help his fellow man out, when a man is stingy and greedy like that, and this was exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. Go back and read that passage because it is an excellent commentary on what we're looking at here in the life of the rich man. Now, what we're going to do tomorrow, Lord willing, is to contrast these people's lives and to contrast their destinies even more and to learn just as much as we possibly can from the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. I hope that you'll be joining us then, and until then, have a great rest of the day.